Chapter 2. Time is Central. I've never been much of a fisherman, but my grandmother loved to fish. I remember her sitting on the bank of a creek in rural Tuscaloosa, Alabama. She sat patiently with her checkered dress draped across her knees and her old straw hat protecting her eyes from the intensity of the sun. She didn't always fit the part, but she was as dedicated to her task as any angler has ever been. She rested her long cane pole across her lap, stared intently at the water, and waited. Often she sat almost motionless for hours, anticipating a bobble from her cork that would signal her catch. When supper time arrived, the rewards of waiting were clear. A big plate of fried bream, hot and tasty, sat in the center of the table with some good homemade cornbread and fresh vegetables. Like fishing, trading is also a waiting game. Jesse Livermore, one of Wall Street's trading legends, wrote, quote, "It's not the thinking that makes the money. It's the sittin' and the waitin' that makes the money." According to Richard Smitten, Livermore's biographer, Livermore knew the significance of time. He studied the market intently to find the right moment to buy or sell. He did not jump on just any trade. He watched and he waited. He knew that his caution would cause him to miss some chances to make money, but he did not care because he also knew that the market offers many more occasions to play a winning hand. Livermore believed that timing is everything. If you enter the market too early or too late, you can lose money. There's an ideal opportunity for entry. You have to be patient until you see it. Livermore was extremely astute at picking the right time, and his acumen earned him the title of the greatest bear on Wall Street. How to Trade in Stocks, Jesse Livermore, with adapted materials by Richard Smitten. See also The Amazing Life of Jesse Livermore, Richard Smitten. Trading is exhilarating and downright fun. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we're not trading just for the pleasure of it. We're trading to make money. I do not trade for sport. I play golf for sport. I trade to make a living. Like my grandmother, I want the fish to be biting. If they are not, I sit, watch, and get ready. I know that the market will offer many opportunities to make money. I just have to correctly identify them. One of my dearest friends and clients, Dr. Bobby Jean Smith, taught me many useful lessons about life and about trading. In the early 1980s, Dr. Smith and I bought stock in a company called Prepaid Legal. We only paid $1 a share for the stock. After our purchase, the stock price began to rise, and it just kept going higher and higher. On a number of occasions, I met with Dr. Smith, and during the course of the meeting, we always talked about our prepaid legal stock and what we wanted to do with it. Consistently, I wanted to sell, and he wanted to hold. When our profit margins doubled, I really wanted to sell, and I encouraged him to do so, but he had other ideas. He was in no rush to take fast profits. "Just be patient, Tom. Be patient and wait a little longer," he would say. That was always his reply. Eventually, the stock price hit $20 per share. Then, and only then, did Dr. Smith agree to sell. His patience paid us both handsomely. Patience does pay. Dr. Smith correctly identified the ideal time to liquidate our holdings. How do successful traders know when to trade? Of course, there are many different answers based on various methods and strategies. As for me, I ask myself one central question. Should I be long, short, or out of the market? Experience taught me that if I consistently answer the big questions right, I make money. If I consistently answer it wrong, I lose money. It is that simple, and yet that complex. If I cannot answer the question with a high degree of certainty, or if I determine that I should be out of the market, I wait. I sit on the sidelines, observe, and gather data. I look for the right opportunity when the odds favor my success. Carefully select trading opportunities in the markets just like fishing. Patience pays. As seasoned traders know, answering the big question accurately is the tricky part. The financial markets are in a constant state of flux. They are up one minute and down the next. Some days are worse than others. Take June 17, 2005, for example. It was an options closeout day, and the market was more unpredictable than usual. I made money in the early session, but I stayed out in the afternoon when the market stagnated. Had I traded all day long, I would very likely have lost money. Pick your trading battles carefully to avoid unnecessary losses. Because the market continuously changes, every trader must have a proven strategy to win. If you do not have a proven method, you will jump in and out of the market with every dip and upswing. I know, because I've done it. Believe it or not, I remember one day when I traded from the time the market opened until the final bell rang. When I tallied up my trades, I had executed about 3,000 transactions. At that time, placing so many trades in a single day was not easy to do, because the industry wasn't as computerized as it is today. Orders had to be called into the desk, but somehow I managed to keep the lines hot. At the close of the session, I thought I had done well. I had been right more times than I had been wrong, and I expected my account to show it. I anxiously awaited my profit totals. To my surprise, when I received my statement, my account showed a loss because I forgot to calculate the commissions and other costs associated with the huge volume of trades that I was making. In those days, you received a confirmation sheet for each trade. When the confirmation records from that day arrived, they stood almost a foot high. I worked hard all day to lose money. Never forget the reason that you are trading. You are trading to make money. One of my friends, and a professional trader, once advised me that traders should limit their trades to prevent errors. As simple as it sounds, by limiting the number of trades, you immediately reduce the number of times that you must be right. My rule is to never execute more than 6 different trades during any 24-hour period. Overtrading is typically not profitable trading. Just because you trade a lot doesn't mean you will make a lot of money. So how do you know whether to be long, short, or out of the market? Over the years, I developed a strategy that keeps me from overtrading and helps me to stay on the right side of the market most of the time. The foundation of my strategy consists of 3 basic elements: time, key numbers, and market indicators. I also use a multiple contract approach that lets me take some early profits while keeping a portion of my position to follow the daily trend. In this chapter, I explain how I use time and how my timing strategy helps me make money. Later chapters concentrate on other aspects of my trading method, and I share some of the insights that I gained from a lifetime of trading. Time is central. In 1992, when I looked at the markets with a new perspective, I saw things that I had not seen before. I had new faith and confidence in the rationality of both life in general and of Wall Street in particular. With my renewed faith came a new determination to study and better understand the financial world. I looked closer at the futures market and tried to find something that was constant about them. I was like a scientist conducting an experiment. I wanted a control, a place where I could hang my hat and begin to study other factors and variables. Even more significantly, I truly believed that I could develop a trading strategy to make some real money. The world was no longer a hostile place. I watched the markets day after day and hour after hour. At first glance, almost everything seemed to be continuously changing. I was looking for something that would be the same on Friday that it was on Monday, and that would be the same in December as it had been in January. Once I found that constant, I would begin to build a strategy around it. I found that constant to be time. Simply stated, people are creatures of habit. People move the market. Every working day, our lives follow the same basic time patterns. Most of us wake up and get to work around 8 a.m. or so. We work several hours and break for lunch. After eating, we again return to the office and finish the day. Traders follow the same pattern as everyone else. Around 8 a.m., they begin observing the markets. When the markets open, they dive into their day, and there is a lot of buying and selling as they jockey for their daily positions. The volume in the markets reflect their peaked interest. For a couple of hours, the markets tend to be very active, translating into liquidity and volatility. After working for a while, traders, just like most folks, get hungry. They want to take a break for lunch. Around 10:30 a.m. Central Time, the volume drops as brokers and traders start preparing for lunch. Noon approaches, and on Wall Street and across the U.S., traders sit down at a restaurant or a table in the office to enjoy lunch. They are not placing orders, and consequently, volume drops, reflecting the lost interest. After the lunch break, folks return to work and the activity begins again. Volume usually picks up and there is more action. In mid-afternoon, bonds close and there is a brief period when things get relatively quiet. Finally, just before trading ends for the day, there is another flurry of activity as many traders liquidate their positions. Perhaps they know they are on the wrong side of the market and have to get out of losing trades, or in some cases, they do not want to stay in the market overnight. At any rate, there is another intensified band of buying and selling near the close. Correlate trading to time patterns of the majority of traders, and you have one of the most significant keys to trading. It may sound simplistic, but it is really a big thing. Select a market and observe it for a few days. Notice when and how it moves during the course of the day or an entire week. You will see, as I did, that there are certain market trends, both long-term and short-term, that are connected to time. This observation led me to the realization that time is one of the most important elements in trading. I use the concept of time in a variety of ways, and the following explains how and why I do it. Active times are best for my trading. To make money when trading, it is essential to have liquidity and volatility. Liquidity is necessary because you need it to enter and exit the market. Without liquidity, you may be forced to hold a position far longer than you wish. When that happens, your assets are tied up and you can't take advantage of other more profitable opportunities. Therefore, the liquidity of an asset is vital, especially to a day trader who needs to have the ability to get in and out of the market quickly. Volatility is also very important. What good does it do to buy or sell a stock, futures contract, or any other asset if the asset does not move up or down? Once you get into a transaction, the market needs to move in your favor quickly so that you can take some profits. Never forget that making money is the name of the game. I remember one painful night when I ignored the significance of liquidity and volatility. It was the Thanksgiving holiday and I was bored. You have to understand that I love to trade and I like playing the game. My boredom led me to get into the night market. It wasn't a smart thing to do, but I did it. Some folks mistakenly think that the markets are closed on all holidays, nights, and weekends. That is not so. Technology offers the educated trader an opportunity to trade virtually 24 hours a day, even on many holidays. So while other people were eating turkey, I was trading. In fact, I put on a very large position. The market was extremely quiet. My boredom got me stuck in a stagnant market. As the evening hours passed, I tried to go to bed and rest, but my position was so large that I could not go to sleep. I had to keep monitoring the market. I was forced to stay in the trade for 12 hours because I ignored my rules regarding timing. Time is central. You do not want to do as I did and get stuck in a market that is going nowhere. Active markets provide the money-making opportunities that successful traders need. These are the times that are the most fertile for making money. Morning activity can create ideal trading conditions. I do a lot of trading in the morning, and I often trade the S&P 500 Futures Index. Therefore, I use that market to explain my most lucrative trading times. Trading in the open outcry pits of the S&P Futures opens each morning at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Please be aware that I live in Mobile, Alabama, and the times I use in this book are all central, unless specifically stated otherwise. Initially, the market is highly volatile. Typically, it jumps around quite a bit for the first 5 to 10 minutes. Watch and wait. Don't leap into the S&P or any other market at its open because you do not have a clear picture of where it's going. Be a spectator until it settles down and you're able to get a real sense of its intended direction. In some cases, it is probably a good idea to give the futures markets a good 30 minutes or so to calm down. It is often said that amateurs open the market and the professionals close it. Don't be one of the amateurs who prematurely put their money at risk. After the market has a chance to settle, it is generally a good time to trade. I like to trade between 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. During the first 2 hours of trading, I am often able to get into a trade, take some profits, and position myself to take advantage of the day's trading trend. I explain my multiples method and how I position myself for what I call a free ride later. For now, just picture the opportunity to control a huge amount of equity while positioning your risk to break even. As the morning hours pass, volume falls off, and trading becomes very slow. This is not always true, but it is most of the time. Around 10:15 a.m., I walk away from my computer and do other things. If you sit in front of your computer all day long, unless you have tremendous discipline, you will overtrade and your profitability will suffer. I do not generally place any new orders during this time. Due to the usually slower movement of the major exchanges, trading becomes riskier for my method. I know that there will be safer times, and I wait for them. If I'm in a trade from earlier in the morning, I check to make sure that I have a protective stop in place, and I leave it. If the market is signaling a reversal, I may exit my positions entirely and take my profits. But I rarely place new orders between 10:15 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. The risks are stacked against me during this time, because with reduced volume comes less predictability. There will be better opportunities. The market is full of opportunities, and I wait for them. Sometimes my caution causes me to miss out on good trades, but so what? I do not need to make every trade. If most of my trades are winners and I practice good money management, I will be okay. Afternoon trading offers additional opportunities. After lunch, I look at the market again. 12:30 p.m. is a very important trading time. It is a pivotal time because after lunch the market tends to reset and either reverse the morning move or accelerate it. The 12:30 p.m. number is so important that I record it and use it as a major pivot for the next 24 hours. If the market trades above the 12:30 p.m. number, it signals a bullish move. If it trades below the 12:30 p.m. number, it signals a bearish move. Of course, I consider the 12:30 p.m. pivot as only one factor among others, but it is an important number to watch. One of my cardinal rules is that I never go short between 12:30 p.m. and 1 p.m. Too often, the market appears to be going down during this time, but the move is not long-lasting. I was burned far too often by shorting the market during this time frame. Sometimes it's quite tempting, but I hold firm. If I want to short the market, I wait until after 1 p.m. If I am already short going into 12:30 p.m., I make sure that my stop is in a good place and see if the trade continues through to 1 p.m. But I will not initiate a new position on the short side between 12:30 p.m. and 1 p.m. The market taught me this lesson and forced me to listen. If you trade in the afternoon, you need to be aware of a time that I consider to be very dangerous for most traders. Often between 1:30 p.m. and 2 p.m., there is a counter trend. Sometimes this trend can be rather dramatic, and the market becomes extremely volatile and unpredictable. At DTI, we refer to this time segment as the Grim Reaper, because traders caught in it may see the demise of their trade. Generally, I avoid trading during this time. It's just not worth the pain. The end of the session creates a final flurry. The third and final time during the trading day that I frequently trade is near the daily close. The S&P futures closes at 3:15 p.m. As the market nears the end of the session, the daily trend may reverse. If the market has been down for the bulk of the day, it may shift up. Or if it has been an up day, the market may seek lower prices and squeeze out those traders who are long. This trading time can be very lucrative because many traders have to liquidate their positions before the close, and if you are educated, you can take advantage of that fact. It all boils down to key numbers, time, and the roadmap indicators, long, short, or out. Trade zones. To simplify my trading, I identified certain periods throughout the trading day when I look for opportunities. I refer to these time frames as trade zones. Based on the trading patterns of most traders, as explained previously, I generally place most of my trades during the following times. Trade Zone 1, 9 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. Trade Zone 2, 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. Trade Zone 3, 2:15 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. That is not to say that I never trade outside those zones. If the market direction is very clear, I may enter the market at 8:45 a.m. But I very rarely enter between 10:15 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., or between 1:15 and 2:15 p.m. The waters are just too treacherous, and I do not like throwing my money away. Also, if I'm in the market at the end of a trade zone, I may hold my position, but I keep a protective stop in place to prevent me from taking a beating if there is a sudden market shift. Again, let me stress that I designate these times as trade zones because my multiple contract trading method works best during times of greatest liquidity and volatility. When the market is not moving, and when there is low volume, I generally do not want to be in the market. Why would I? There's no need to risk my money unless the chances are good that I'll be able to make money. Just because I limit the majority of my trading during the day to trade zones does not mean that I do not monitor the market and even do some trading during other significant times. I developed a software program several years ago called the Roadmap. It allows me to track markets around the clock. There are, of course, other programs that you can use to accomplish this same objective, but without the detail. I always keep tabs on the German DAX and trade it often in the early morning hours before the U.S. day market opens. Not only do I trade the DAX, but I also use it and other foreign markets to help me with my night trading when I'm trading the S&P and the Dow. The method I teach focuses on how to use a 24-hour trading clock. There is no question that the United States is the world's financial leader. Living in the United States, it's all too easy to take a provincial view and focus all attention on exchanges and indices located in Chicago or New York City. However, the world is a big place, and there are other extremely important geographical areas that we need to watch. Savvy traders keep an eye on markets in Europe and Asia. Foreign markets offer both trading opportunities and insight that can help us trade more profitably. Globally, trading follows the movement of the sun. The geographical part of the world where the sun is shining will be the part of the world where trading is most active. Until recently, that fact did not mean much to the United States home-based trader. However, thanks to major strides in technology, traders now sit in their bedroom or in an office and follow the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, or the DAX and other foreign exchanges or indices. In fact, with the right platform and account, it is possible to trade some of these markets. I regularly trade the DAX. Technological advances opened a big new world of electronic trading opportunities. A few years ago, the average trader could not trade the night markets electronically without a very expensive Globex terminal, or otherwise he had to place all orders through the trading desk of a brokerage house. Now, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and other exchanges have electronic order entry systems that allow anyone with a laptop, a trading account, and internet access to trade virtually around the globe, around the clock. The CME's electronic system is the Globex. The Chicago Board of Trade, or CBOT, also has an electronic trading system called the ACE. These electronic trading systems can be accessed through online brokerage accounts via computer. On weekday afternoons, the S&P futures opens for Globex trading at 3:30 p.m. The Dow futures night session opens at 7:15 p.m. Night trading is very different from trading during the day session. There is far less volume, and everything moves slowly. I've placed orders, gone to dinner, returned, and my positions were basically unchanged. If trading at night, be prepared to wait on the market. As the evening wears on, markets around the globe get going. Shortly after the sun rises in the east, Asia opens for business and dominates the global scene. For example, at 6 p.m., the Nikkei opens in Tokyo. A short time later, the Hang Seng market opens in Hong Kong. Active Asian markets have the ability to exert some degree of influence on U.S. markets. Therefore, if the Asian markets are down, you might want to think twice before going long on the S&P or the Dow. Conversely, if Eastern markets are showing a lot of strength, you probably want to look to the long side of U.S. markets, or at least exercise caution before going short. Time is central. The DAX, a German futures contract, opens at 2 a.m., and the CAC, the French market, the FTSE, the London market, and the Swiss markets also open around this time. Because Germany has the largest economy in Europe, it carries a big stick. The DAX is often a major market mover in the early hours of Globex trading. If the DAX is extremely strong, expect the Dow and the S&P to gain strength. When you see that same upward momentum in Asia, Europe, and the United States, there is confirmation that the markets have a bullish tone. Divergence among these markets tells you to stay out. If domestic and foreign markets are all trending lower, it is a sign of weakness, and you may be able to take advantage of it with a sell. To improve your trading, get a clear view of global markets and use that knowledge. When the European markets open, the Asian markets are approaching closing time. Therefore, the European markets, especially the DAX, take the spotlight from Asia and become the world's most active trading centers. Major financial markets in the United States open between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. The S&P futures opens at 8:30 a.m. Once these markets begin trading, a lot of global attention transfers to our shores. As morning trading in the United States progresses, foreign markets have less and less influence on the day's activities. The DAX futures ends electronic trading at 1 p.m., and the United States again dominates trading until the Asian markets open in the early evening hours. Then the cycle begins again, with the most active global trading beginning in Asia, moving to Europe, and finally to the United States. It follows the path of the sun as it moves from east to west. In trading, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance generally translates into an empty account and a lot of heartbreak. You may be trading U.S. markets, but it pays to be aware of what is happening in the other major financial centers around the globe. Some United States companies are listed on foreign exchanges. The stock prices of these big international companies reflect how the world values United States stock and how they interpret the world financial scene. It really is a small world, especially with the advances of technology. If there is a major problem in Asia or Europe, it will be reflected in domestic markets. Likewise, if there is a major problem in the United States, do not expect the problem to be isolated to this side of the pond. Expect the problem to be reflected quickly on foreign markets, just as it was in 1987. The larger the problem, the bigger the global impact will be. Therefore, to improve your trading and get a clear view, I highly recommend that you use a 24-hour trading clock and stay generally abreast of how foreign indices, stocks, and exchanges are doing. Using a 24-hour trading clock gives me an edge and helps me be a better, more informed trader. It also opens new trading avenues for me, such as allowing me to trade the DAX Futures Index. Exercise caution when trading the night market. The night market is very different from the day market. As you can imagine, there are far fewer players. Therefore, I feel compelled to give you a few words of warning. First, observe and study the market before you trade it. Note the way it moves and the times that are most active. One of those active times is 2 a.m. when the DAX opens. The energy of the Germans seems to be contagious, and U.S. markets generally respond with some increased movement. Another point I want to make is that even though I trade the night market, I do not carry my trades over from the day. Let me explain. The day trading session ends in the afternoon. The S&P futures close at 3:15 p.m. and the Dow closes at 4 p.m. If you do not exit the market at that time, you are deemed to be holding your positions overnight, and the clearinghouses require a much greater margin requirement for doing so. For example, it is possible to trade an E-mini S&P contract for a margin requirement of only $1,000. That is, if you do not carry your position over from the day session into the night session. However, if you hold that contract overnight, the margin requirement increases to $4,500. That is quite a difference. If you want to trade in the evenings without paying higher margins, you must exit the market when it closes at 3:15 p.m. or so and re-enter after the night market opens. The S&P futures reopens at 3:30 p.m. and the Dow futures reopens at 7:15 p.m. Therefore, if you want to be in the market, just get out at 3:15 p.m. and re-enter at 3:30 p.m. For the S&P, that is, other indices or exchanges may have other hours. Once you re-enter, you can hold those positions until the close of the day sessions on the following day. When people talk about the risk of day trading, I always think about these exchange rules. The exchanges are the biggest handicappers in the world. They require substantially more risk dollars for those who are trading futures and holding them overnight with a buy-and-hold strategy than they do for those using a day trading strategy. Just think about that. Again, be careful if you plan to trade after the day session ends. I enjoy trading at night, but I have played these games since their inception, and I know a lot of maneuvers and tricks. If you do not, the times can be extremely treacherous. Why do you think that Dracula creeps about at night? He's sucking the blood out of unsuspecting people. Some expert night traders try to do the same to the less informed traders. Wall Street acknowledges the inherent dangers and expresses them by increasing the required margins. Just be sure that if you trade at night, that you prepare for it. Don't let some market Dracula suck your account dry. In addition to using the time of day and the 24-hour trading clock, I also use the time of year to help me increase my profits. Certain times during the year are more important than others. When the market opens on January 1st, the bulls and the bears begin their battle. The year is new, and each side has 365 days to impose its bias on the market. The past year's market trend may continue, or it may end and a new trend may begin. For example, take 2005. The prior year ended on an up note. During the last couple of months of 2004, the S&P futures rose by about 100 points. That is a pretty big move. Seeing the big gains of December 2004, a novice might think that a rally in 2005 was assured. The opening price for 2005 on the S&P futures was 12.13½. But as the new year began, there was uncertainty. Would the rally continue, or would the market retrace? At least in January, the rally did not continue. The bears came out in force, and by the end of the month, the S&P was trading about 50 points lower than the yearly open. Will the market decline in 2005 and return to 2004 average prices? No one knows. I do know, however, that throughout the year, the opening price of 12.13½ on the S&P futures will be very important. If the bulls are able to get the market above it, look for a rally. I consider the yearly opening price of a market to be the single most important pivot number for that market during the entire year. In the early days of January 2005, it was clear that there was a war raging between the bulls and the bears. At the time of this writing, it is still not known who will win the Battle of 2005. If you only remember one number for the whole year, remember the opening price of the markets you trade. Use that number wisely. It should allow you to put some additional money in the bank. Let's look at another example. In 2004, the S&P futures opening price was 11.11 even. Throughout the year, I kept my eye on that number. If the market fell to it and broke below it, I knew that the bears were strong and I prepared for a sell-off. If the market moved above it, I started looking long. In November, as it approached 11.11 even, I watched carefully to see if the bulls would push higher. I knew that if they broke the year's opening price, the market would move up and test higher prices. With the Christmas holidays approaching, the 11.11 even price was broken and there was no turning back. The S&P futures did not look back until January 1, 2005, when the market reversed for a few weeks. Even with the reversal, it was far above 11.11 even. Notice in Figure 2.1 the market's reaction to the 11.11 even price. Also note the big move at the end of 2004. Once the bulls got the market above its yearly opening price, the holiday spirit jumped in and pressed the market higher. By the time merrymakers welcomed in the new year, the S&P futures had made a gain of over 100 points. The time of year is also important. The opening bell on January 2nd of each and every year is the start of the trading game. This date is the single most important day in the market during the entire year. Write it down. Holidays and other dates are significant. New Year's Day is not the only important date to watch. There are a number of other holidays that tend to affect the global markets. I rarely experience an emotional high on April 15th, but the markets tend to respect this date. If the markets have been trending prior to tax day in the United States, look for the trend to accelerate, or the markets may reverse after this date. It is one of those watershed days when the markets seem to reconsider the direction that they are taking. After reconsideration, the trend may be reaffirmed and revved up, or reevaluated and reversed. Other similar dates include Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I love the Christmas season. December is historically a fantastic trading month for me. The markets tend to be bullish, and they move. I make a lot of money in December as the holiday cheer spreads on Wall Street. Exercise caution when taking a bearish stance in late November and December. There will be down days, but generally even Wall Street traders get overtaken by the holiday season. Time is central. Time is also a healer. It clears the mind. A final way that I use time is to clear my mind. Sometimes we all get in a rut. Our trading is just not working. We lose on Monday and we lose more on Tuesday. By Friday, we wish we had not traded at all during the week. If you find yourself in a losing streak, quit. Stop trading for a while. Take a break. Clear your mind. One of my students was experiencing an awful losing streak. It had become so bad that when she placed a trade, she assumed she would lose. Her lack of confidence and her fear made her expectations a reality. She was part of a class of about 20 students. Other students in the class made some of the same trades she made, but executed them differently. For example, they entered the trade sooner or held it longer, and they made money. She, on the other hand, hesitated and entered trades late or took tiny profits and exited her positions too early. She was sabotaging herself. I tried to tell her this, but she would not listen. I told her that she needed to take a short break from trading and clear her mind. I encouraged her to paper trade or do some trade simulations until she got her confidence back. She responded negatively. She said, "I can't quit. I have to make money this month because I have some bills I want to pay." Stubbornly, she rejected my advice and kept trading. Soon, she was not trading at all because her account was empty. Time can help break a losing streak by getting you out of the market, enabling you to identify and correct your errors. If nothing else, it stops the losing until you can readjust to the market and improve your strategy. When you take a break, use the time off to evaluate your trading. What did you do wrong? Was it timing? Did you misread the indicators? Did fear or greed destroy your trading strategy? Is the market too jittery or too unpredictable for some reason? How can you improve? After your mind has cleared and you've considered your strengths and your weaknesses, get back into the trading game. Start slowly. Paper trade or trade simulations only. When you begin trading your actual account, take a couple of small positions. If they are profitable, slowly increase your trading until it is back to full speed. Let your confidence rebuild before you attempt to take on a large position. Use time as a trading element, but do not give trading your life. You need to use a 24-hour trading clock. But that does not mean that you should sit before your computer 24 hours a day and trade. Roadmap software records 24-hour market data for me. I can sleep well, knowing that the information will be waiting for me when I get up. There are other ways to track and record data. Find one. The best thing you can do for yourself is seek out, test, and incorporate trading tools that simplify your trading career. Keep up with the markets, but remember to trade only when you have a high probability of making money. When the market is not moving or when you cannot determine its direction, get away. Play golf, watch television, clean the house, do whatever you need or want to do. If you carefully select the times when you trade, you will be able to make more money and you will be able to better enjoy your life. Golf is my favorite sport. For decades, I've taken lessons and worked to improve my game. Years ago, Ron Gring, my instructor, told me that golf was a game of opposites. For example, if you want to drive the ball a great distance, you can't focus on the hole that awaits you yards and yards away. Instead, you must focus on the small ball, that is, inches from your feet. In order to get your ball to travel a far distance, you must come to a stop. You must execute a deliberate swing with concentration and calculated force. If you focus on the power behind your swing, you may well get a choppy swing that misses the ball altogether or barely grazes it and leaves you in the dust. In that way, trading is like golf. In order to make more money, you need to trade less, but with deliberation. The inexperienced trader often thinks that he or she needs to trade all of the time. That is not true. A trader who trades too much will very likely waste both time and money. Time is a very significant element in trading. You want to trade when there is the greatest volatility and liquidity, because that is when you can be profitable. If you trade during the times that I have designated as my trade zones, these essential elements will generally be present. Also, if you limit your trading to these times, you enhance your probability of success in another way. You limit the likelihood that you will overtrade. Overtrading is a sure path to depleting your account. Paying attention to global time and using a 24-hour trading clock is also very important. In this age of technology and enhanced communication, activities around the globe affect markets. Knowing how Asia and Europe are trading is very important to your market analysis. It can improve your trading by informing you of the world's view of the marketplace. Timing is also important when looking at global holidays and events. Take note of the New Year's Open, April 15. Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Remember that these dates may signal a market shift or acceleration. Note how the market trades on these dates and adjust your trading accordingly. Finally, if you are experiencing some problems with your trading, take a break. Stop playing the game for a while. Take time off to rejuvenate yourself and reassess your trading. Relax and evaluate. identify errors, and make a plan for correction. By using all of the aspects of time effectively, your trading should improve. Lessons learned. Patience pays. Trade during the times of greatest liquidity and volatility. Use a 24-hour trading clock. Do not overtrade. Remember the yearly opening price of the markets that you plan to trade, and use that number as a major pivot throughout the year.